Yes.
It's as I predicted. It's all coming true. It shall all come to pass according to prophecy. And whatnot. Hello there. It's 48 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of October in the year of our Lord, 2006. We're coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy. I am he. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 if you'd like to be part of today's exciting broadcast. And why wouldn't you, my friend? Why wouldn't you? 503-733-2970. If your comments, clarifications, your conventions, your other 2 cents, however it is you'd like to weigh in. If you'd like to ask Scotty to spell the simplest of words for your amusement, it's 503-733-2970. By the way, before we get any further into anything, I want to note a couple of things. A, I will be in absentia tomorrow, as the young people say. I will be gone tomorrow. In the stead of me, will be our good friend from the gymnasium, Tim Savage. Going to be tomorrow, 11. So if you tune in tomorrow, no disrespect to you.
Yeah, thanks for prepping Tim and I on that too. I just found that out like 2 days ago.
I sent an email out like a week ago.
I didn't know anything either. That's why I'm here, because I have no idea what to do.
I sent an email out like on Monday about it, and I talked to you all about it. You were here. Tim Riley and I were having the conversation. You were right here.
Well, if you and Tim are having a conversation, I'm not going to eavesdrop.
You were 3 feet away. I'm not going to eavesdrop. I'm not going to traffic in gossip and ill-founded speculation, says Sarah Dillon.
And I want to clarify, too. I mean, I'm here right now for the next 2 hours because I don't know anything more than you do. So I'm like, I'm here mainly to learn your names.
Yeah, Sarah number 2 isn't going to fly either.
You should totally wear a whole lot of it. Hello, my name is Sarah X. Dillon. That's fantastic. That's a great idea.
I don't even have the phone number memorized at this point. So I'm just,
okay.
I'm sorry, Rick.
Doesn't matter.
But I got to be honest,
Here's the good thing about this. The good thing about coming is A. Well, there's really only A. A is, if at any point you make the slightest misstep, there will be many, many listeners who are more than happy to call up and fritter away most of their day correcting you moment by moment. I know, because it happens to me. Because it happened to me yesterday. Right here. 24 hours ago, I hadn't even started the program. It was like 4 minutes after yesterday. Right about this same time, a guy calls up. What the hell was that bastard's name? Steve? Zed? Something. Guy calls up yesterday. 5 minutes into the program. Okay, your program's not as good as it used to be. What's wrong with you? And I hadn't done anything. I hadn't said anything. Hadn't broached even the slightest topic of conversation. Guy's all up in my face about it. So if at any point you feel like you're wandering off the reservation, if you'd like, we could appoint a spotter. You know, you go to the gym, you're spotting, and just in case things start to get away from you, there's a guy above you who goes, oh, no problem, dude. And he picks it up and he puts it back on the rack. If you'd like, we can get a spotter. Someone who can just wait there at any moment to jump in and bring you back.
I think my spotter is pretty much everyone. I've got the entire staff of CBS Radio Portland and everyone listening.
Fantastic.
That's going to be, constantly letting me know that you don't really belong here. You're just kind of here,
It's a good thing you don't work in a hypercritical industry where everybody's waiting to shiv their fellow employee in the back and ruin their self-esteem.
That's why I love radio. Job security and no pressure.
Good times. All right. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. I'd like to engage with us electronically in some fashion. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Here's the thing about it. I just have to say this one final observation. Is this Chris? It's on one. I say. It's like when you're above a canyon, there's no echo. Hello. Can you hear me in the back? Well, all right. This is exactly the kind of seller service, by the way, you can expect from the phone screener and everyone here at CBS Radio West. What was I saying? Wait, bring it back. Bring it back. So if you tune in tomorrow, and I got to prep people for this because, well, you know how it is. You're a radio listener, you tune in with some unfamiliar voice. And then at this point, the audience, it just, I don't even think they'd be angry. I think if they tuned in and it was just from some sort of a Latin, like a flamenco format, there'd just be sort of a gentle, like a sloping of the shoulders and just sort of a wilting, like a, what can you do? So, I mean, I don't even think they'd be, they're just expecting it at this point.
I'm thinking of going two different routes. I'm thinking of going out of the really vague route where I am, you know, maybe I'm just kind of like making everything really vanilla and just, you know, letting Tim and Sarah do all the work and the talking, and I'm just kind of like, yeah. Or being uber confrontational.
Hello, Tim. What do you mean by that?
I'm thinking of like hardcore right-wing conservative just going off about how George W. is the world's greatest hero.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's going to be the best show ever tomorrow. Tomorrow, Tim Savage right here from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then we'll have some alleged best-ups that Scotty has been busy as a beaver putting together from 1 to 3 tomorrow. And I don't want to give away what they are. No, I won't give away what they are. Now, Scotty J is saying he's noted he can keep you on track because Scotty is noting to me on the screen he has many ideas, which I, Rick Emerson, do not take seriously. He feels he will find favor with you, Tim Savage, tomorrow.
He knows. He was in here doing phone screening for the Saturday show, and, and like all these ideas were coming up, and he knows that I'll just talk about them on the air because I'm still not quite used to the whole phone screener thing because I do my own phones at KUFO. So he's putting all these ideas up on the thing, and for some reason I'm thinking, oh, they're there. I must read them aloud.
No, feel free. No, and feel free to disregard and disparage anything he says.
Is there any way I can type back to him?
You can. It's a keyboard.
I'm very good at multitasking.
You just put it right here on the screen, and you can just use the microphone. It's probably, he hears the pre-delay feed.
Uh-huh.
He's dumb to get bent. He'll hear it. So
then hit delay real quick.
Yeah, exactly.
Scotty J, you suck. Dump.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry, Scotty. No, I apologize. All right. You're telling me his feelings are hurt.
Oh.
Anyway, so if you're
he doesn't have feelings.
No, he's only two-thirds of a person. So if you tune in tomorrow, you hear a weird voice. Maybe you should be real vague when you do the top. Like, you should do a whole lot of, like, I'm Tim Savage, in for Rick Emerson, who's, he's not here. He's spending some time with spend medical business. He's at home.
Personal day.
Yeah, and but we're just gonna jump right into things here today, and where's Rick at today? Boy, what do you think about that situation in Latin America? So if they didn't hear today, just don't give a straight answer to anything.
Right.
Anybody ask where I am? We should come up with a cover story. Anybody ask, just totally just ham-haw, spin, have no idea where I am.
What about this? What if I, and I mean with this with all the respect in the world, what if I was you?
In what sense? If you just came on and said you were me?
Like Friday, October the 13th in the year of our Lord.
Like a Dick Sergeant, Dick York kind of a thing?
Sure.
That's fantastic. We tried to do that. This is one of those things that Sarah probably doesn't know about. All right. I'm going to put a pin in this, as they say. I'm going to come back to this in a second. 503-7th. Sarah is Darren. Equals Darren. I'll get to that. No, I do have a point. I'll get back to that. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We'll get mailman Chris here in just a moment. I had, in addition to you, though, I had some other point that I was going to make, and now it's gone. All right. Well, before we do anything else, we'll come back to Tim Savage in a moment. We'll do some things. Let's, without further ado, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, our official stenographer.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend Mailman Chris joining us. Hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, overburdened today.
So I see.
I'm still at the station. I haven't even left yet.
All right. It's not Harry Potter Day. Was it a new Mary Higgins Clark novel or something that's gone on?
No, this is just like one of the worst weeks for us because it's political mail. There's
all the
Christmas stuff. And we take Columbus Day off. Whatever the last holiday. Yeah, Columbus.
Whatever the last holidays. You're so burdened. You're up to your hips in holidays. You can't even keep track of them.
So federal offices are like the only place in the world, in the country, that takes that day off.
Oh, no, I'm aware of that fact. No, I understand that.
And so all that mail still gets generated. We're just not there to deliver it. So the next couple of days, we're playing catch-up.
Yeah, times is hard. I understand how it is when you have to take federally mandated days off.
You know, three hours of overtime or so today.
Son of a bitch. All right. So, I'd like to note that your moratorium on being able to come on and be the stenographer of this program, that lasted a day. A day.
A day.
That, by the way, right there, if anybody wants to know why you want to work for the government, I was talking to Ryan who works across the hall yesterday. My wife works for the federal government, and she had to swear a loyalty oath. and she had to swear an oath in which she disavowed, let's see if I can remember this, she had to disavow her allegiance to any foreign entity, power, prince, or potentate, and to, you know, never assist in violent, bloody overthrow of the government here. And, you know, it's totally worth it, because, I mean, I would say on any given week, I don't know, you probably work, what, you do like 2.5 days? Of work, maybe something like that. And really, if you were to aggregate it over the course of a year, you could be. And the fact that your boss, your supervisor, and I'm not giving away a state secret. You were saying this on the air. Told you, they said, Chris, you're not going to be able to call into that radio program anymore. And yet here you are on the radio program, being heard by thousands of people, is not even making any attempt to hide it. If anybody in a normal job did that, they'd be out on their ear.
To clarify, nobody actually told me I couldn't call in.
Uh-huh.
They said I probably shouldn't do it when I'm on postal time. I'm on a break right now.
All right. Of course you are.
My break. I saved my break. Instead of taking it at 10, I'm taking it at 11.
The best part about when you say that you're on your break as a postal carrier, I just picture you lounging underneath a palm tree in a pith helmet somewhere. Like with your... You know, your legs crossed at the ankle, just smoking some sort of a fruit-flavored cigarette and blowing smoke rings in the air. You know what I mean? And drinking a mint julep. All right, here's what we got today. Let's see. Things you should never cut with a saw. Is Scotty J smarter than your household pet? Discuss. And we have big bad storm news. And I do mean that it's storm news that is both big and bad. So we have some big bad news about our good friend, Storm Large. We'll get to that. What else? I'm running a little bit behind today. We have an unfortunate... I mean, I guess it's only unfortunate if you're him, in which case it doesn't really matter anymore. We have this unfortunate interview with Corey Lytle, the guy that flew the plane into the building yesterday. Somebody sent this to me. This was an interview he apparently did a day and a half before the plane crash, which is filled with great phrases like, this thing is almost impossible to crash. Let's see. What else? This Andy Dick thing. I don't even want to tease the Andy Dick thing. We got that. I do have the Weekend Geek, and it's like Thursday. It's probably incredibly outdated by now anyway.
Whatever happened with Dane Cook?
Dane Cook, I'm still waiting to hear back on. Dane Cook, don't even get me started on Dane Cook. So here's...
Because it was supposed to be today, right?
You know, Stephanie Miller was talking about this morning when she was talking about trying to book some guest. And the guest booker actually said to her, they used this phrase. The guest booker, and Stephanie Miller, I mean, you know, I'm just somebody, jackhole in Portland. Stephanie Miller is a nationwide program. She's in the number two radio market in the country. I mean, she's a known entity. And the guest booker said to her producer, and this was her quote from this morning, she said,
you really don't understand how far down the food chain radio stations really are, do you?
And so it's really, you take whatever that is, and then, like, weird to the nth degree, because as soon as they see AM next to your call, it doesn't matter what you, I don't care how many listeners you have, I don't care what ratings you have, I don't care what you bill, how much money you're making, if they see AM next to it, they just assume that it's somebody like the Effordent, you know, demographic.
I know, when I go to cash my paychecks at the bank, they'll be like, ooh, you work for CBS Radio? That's so exciting, what do you do?
And then they look at the check and they go, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm like, as you can see, it's really glamorous.
Oh, that's exciting. All right. And so we'll talk Dane Cook here in a second. We're here with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, as are we always. You're looking vivacious today.
Thank you.
Okay. Tim Riley today is working on the following stories at the Ministry of Truth for your edification.
A Clark County man catches fire and dies stealing copper wire.
Fantastic.
A Michigan woman attempts to sell a mummy on eBay. Madonna picks up the latest must-have fashion accessory, an African child. They're working blue.
This is coming, White.
A Mickey, Minnie, and Goofy orgy video is making the rounds.
Which is fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean it's horrifying. Now, have any of us seen the footage? I mean, by any of us, I mean other than me. Oh, I've seen it. Let me tell you.
And the Dustin Diamond video is for sale now.
They changed the title. It's no longer Saved by the Smell. No, seriously. You know, you're a DJ. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Do you know the new title?
No, what
it's
is it?
It's boring. It's lame. It's just called Screeched.
Oh, come on.
At least the Saved by the Smell was interesting.
Is he still in charge of, like, distribution and you know, trying to make money so he's not bankrupt anymore?
I don't know if I'm Screeched. All I know is it's a huge schlong. And he's in a bathtub going, oh.
I like how that was your number one point. Hey, listen, all I know about Screech from Saved by the Bell is that he's packing.
Because it is always the guy. You know, it's like that your grandfather said the thing. You know, it's always the quiet ones you got to watch out for. Well, it's always the guys you don't expect that have got the you know.
Yeah,
that's
it's like
true.
Three bats in the warm-up circle. I mean, it's like it's always... those guys, it's nature's way of distributing favors equally, I believe.
So how long like being given Saved by the Bell wasn't favor enough.
Hey, Rick, I don't want to interrupt, but I'm still here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. I forgot you were there. And do we have watchers today, Tim Riley, of any appreciable number?
We have a Darwin watch.
Fantastic.
Another Darwin watch.
Bam!
And Democracy on the Mark.
The great thing about double Darwin watchers, if you close your eyes, you can hear the world getting smarter. With every idiot killed, mean IQ goes up. We all take one step forward in line. All right, my friend.
Did you have a watch from yesterday?
We didn't do the snuff watch, but we got to do it. We should do yesterday's snuff watch. It's like when they say tomorrow's news today. This is yesterday's news, Thursday. We should do that today because I got sound effects that go with it.
All right. So things you should never cut with a saw. Is Scotty J smarter than your household pet?
Yes.
Big bad storm news. An interview with the late Corey Lydell. Week in Geek, news about Dane Cook, a double Darwin watch, Democracy on the March, and a snuff watch.
That's what I'm saying. And by the way, the is Scotty J smarter than your household pet? That's simply a figurative title. We are not actually going to grade Scotty's intelligence because pets can't. I mean, there's no way that we'd have to get one of those horses in here that can count by pawing the ground. There's no way that I'm not able to do that. So we will have to have a child stand in for a household pet.
All right. And on that Corey Lydell interview, did you say anything about getting a no-hitter?
It's too soon. Wait, hold on. Let me just... But thank you with the whole... Oh, damn it. No. Well, and you know, I mean, if he wasn't doing it yesterday, you know that today it's going to be...
Tom, can you take me out? Lydell style?
You know, is it Lydell? Lydell. It's Lydell, isn't it?
I thought, I don't know.
I got to get my pop culture references ready so I can make jokes at the family's expense.
My answer was just, the guy that played for the Yankees for a month.
So how many people ended up dying in that?
Two. I heard it was two.
I heard it was four.
Well, see, but that's one of those things where we heard the NORAD thing and then they said no. When we got off the air, it was four. This morning, it was two. And it was him and, now look, I understand, he's got a family. And they've got to be embarrassed that they had a guy they were related to who was such a bad pilot. So I understand that. No, seriously, because
I mean, that was going to be extra terrible if you don't know how to fly your freaking plane and then fly in an apartment and kill three other people.
Well, that's the thing, and it's like they can't even look. And I don't mean to sound crass about this, but that's me. What are you going to do? Sometimes you just got to speak the plain truth, and that's what we do here. We in talk radio, the last bulwark of a free thing. My thing is the family isn't even, Steve Irwin's wife, Terry Irwin. Now, we can quibble back and forth about whether he was dumb or whether he was asking for it or whatever. But at least there's a debate there. At least there's some kind of I believe he died doing what he loved and he was trying to preserve nature and trying to fight for the least of God's creatures.
He died the same way that he lived with animals in his heart.
He died.
I'm surprised you haven't heard that yet. I was gritting my teeth.
I feel so much better about tomorrow's show.
I was gritting my teeth knowing that everybody had heard this joke a thousand times
now,
already.
Now, is that a Tim Savage original?
Oh, no.
Oh, but you should claim it is, dude. Don't ever admit that you've stolen it.
Absolutely. I made that up the day after he died, and I laughed maniacally.
Yeah. That kind of comes with working in your building. Just claim that you came up with it yourself.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Anyway, the thing about Steve Irwin is at least you can go, he did die as he lived. He was a brave man, and he was standing side by side with God's creatures. And the wife can look the wife can look sort of tearful and brave. And his kid, that 8-year-old, and what a freaky little girl she is, Steve Irwin's kid. Have you seen her?
No.
And I mean this in a good way, where she is really a natural. And I mean to sound cynical about this, but she was at the funeral. She's 8 years old. The wife is so broken up, she can't even talk, very obviously, as understandably. The 8-year-old, and Chris has come, the 8-year-old who... she's old enough to comprehend death, so it's not that she's in denial, but the 8-year-old daughter, and I forget her name, is speaking at the funeral. She's in front of 5,000 people, live mic, everybody's staring right at her. Her dad is dead in a coffin, 5 feet away, and she's doing the whole, "My daddy was a beacon of inspiration to others, and I hope that he will inspire the rest of the world to go out and experience nature. He died as he would have wanted to, doing what he loved with the animals that he cared for. He will continue to remain an inspiration to me and to a whole world." And it was it was so creepy. You could just hear the Blackberries in the audience switching on as every agent was, must sign development deal with.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, my point, though, is that at least they can be sort of yes, and my husband died tragically. This guy, Corey, what's your name, Corey Lytle?
Yeah. Corey Lytle.
Corey Lytle. Corey Lytle. They can't even, like, the family doesn't even get the dignified death. You know? What happened to you? Well, my husband passed away. Really? Was it tragic? Well, he, and they're going to have to make up an alternate, you know, fell into a sewer. You know, yeah. Just something that's less embarrassing. Because
it was a plane crash. Wait, I know about that plane. Isn't that the one with the parachute on top? Now you can blow that up, right? You'll be safe.
You just push the button and it lands itself. You push the button and the big inflatable thing comes out Zucker style and flies it for you.
Now, hold on a second. I don't want to be the spreader of rumors, but did you hear about the car crash?
No.
Okay, see, I don't know. I didn't verify this. Wait, I should have, but I didn't know.
Where are we talking about?
We're talking about Corey Lytle in his brand new BMW about 2-3 weeks ago.
Is this a joke? Are we leading up to a terrible punchline?
I swear to God, this is not a joke.
Okay.
Brand new BMW about 2-3 weeks ago, and apparently it was like flying through a residential zone, 30-40 miles an hour above the speed limit. Destroyed his car.
Yeah.
And tried to talk his way out of it, and you know, tried to BS the cops and everything, and let them know that. And I guess he said he was a financial advisor. He didn't want to admit that he was a baseball player. He said, "Oh, I'll take care of all the damages in cash. I'll take care of everything." Now, see, I can't verify this. I heard it from two different people, but I've not looked it up myself.
Well, you're a journalist. You've got two sources. There you go. That's all you need. That's all Woodward needed, and he brought down a president. Two sources, I say you
I'm
go
I'm
going to
bring
it.
Corey Lytle down so that, as if his death wasn't enough, I'll make sure that his image is tarnished forever. People will know the truth.
I used to have a friend, actually, who would end arguments with guys. Like, he would get into fights in bars with guys, and he would end it with, like, "It's not over till I'm whizzing on your grave." that was like his tag-off line. And sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it was a more crude sexual variant on that same activity. Anyway, and so there you go. And it's 25 after. Okay, so if you hear a strange voice tomorrow, it's Tim Savage. He'll be in the 11 to 1. We got to do this. We'll come back. Coming up this hour, Lisa Goddard is going to join us. Later on, we have Ed McCarthy. We'll talk about Corey Lytle. We have senior radio correspondent Jim Roop, and I believe we have a little bit of Peter Conlon coming up later on today as well. When we come back, we got to talk storm news. Better you hear it from me than on the street, kids. And then we'll talk to Scotty J about his rather elastic attitude towards the spelling of, what are they called, words. And Scotty J is typing on the screen, perhaps a surprise guest interview, too. All right. Well, there you go. So make of that what you will. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 503-733-2970. Now he's typing, thank you, with an ellipsis. You can also email it's rick@rickemerson.com. Back in a moment, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Rick.
Best line in the whole song.
show at 503-733-2970. Storm and the Balls, Ladylike. I hate to keep saying this because I hate to be that guy. You love this? What's that guy saying in the Vacation? Wait till you drive it. Wait till you hear the new one, the version. And I, you know what is? I forgot Jimmy and the Balls. I left him out when I was describing the band that's on the new version of this. The new Ladylike is Storm, Davey, Jimmy from the Balls, Dave Navarro on guitar, and Nate Morton, the house band drummer, who's just, and again, no knock on Brian, the guy who drums on this, but man, I gotta tell you, Nate Morton is just, that guy's an unbelievable drummer, and it pops, just this big, bright, like, splashy sound. It's fantastic. So, sometime in the near future, you'll be hearing the new version of that. So, here's what we're gonna do, in my ongoing pursuit of putting 10 pounds of mud in the 5-pound sack today. We're going to do a little storm news here. We'll talk to our man, Scott Dowley, from Film Fever Radio. At that point, we will probably talk to Lisa Goddard. Then coming up at the top of the hour, we got the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, Ed McCarthy, Jim Roop, la-da-da-la-da-da-la. All right, so that'll just kind of function as our storm watch open. I'm trying to pull all of these very disparate reports about this. So we have some storm news, and you may have heard little bits and pieces of this. It's because this came out in such a weird... I mean, the story just kind of dribbled out. There still hasn't been a complete release about this, but we know that enough people have heard it that it's... And enough people who know have heard it. And I'll just say in advance that we can't say where we heard some of this from. Some of this was told to us by people who are in a position to know, but who we can't identify. And I hate to be that guy. You know, somebody that you would all know, but who I cannot reveal. But it's true, because I want you to know this is kind of coming from, you know, from a place of knowledge here. I will read you the post here from TMZ. Magni and Storm Large, two finalists in the top five on the CBS reality show Rockstar Supernova, have essentially been fired from the opening act on the upcoming Rockstar Supernova tour. This is just the latest controversy to besiege Tommy Lee's new band, Rockstar Supernova, since the reality show wrapped production last month. Tommy Lee and the rest of the band, including the show's winner Lucas Rossi, have already had to change the name of their band to Rockstar Supernova, blah, 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 blah. But now it has been learned that due to financial reasons, Magni, Storm Large, and the house band, and look, and it's crap enough that Magni and Storm get booted off, but then at least somehow, in some tiny section of your brain, you could conceivably make the argument that Magni and Storm have what they might call region-heavy appeal, which is, everybody loves Storm, but obviously the Northwest is going to be the biggest market for her, blah, 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 blah. Not even that makes any sense, but the idea that they would boot the house band up on top of it, which is just insult the injury, because those guys were the backbone of the entire thing. So Magni, Storm Large, and the house band have been kicked off the tour. Toby and Delana are still on board. Thank holy God for that, ladies and gentlemen. But we'll now be backed by Toby Rand's Australian group, the Juke Cartel. Because in Australia, they know from Jukes. They're, it's like another Delta down there. Although this is a blow to Storm Large and Magni, who are bona fide sensations in their own places of origination, the real question is how fans will react to the news. Blah, 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 blah. A call to Rockstar Supernova's record label was not immediately returned. And then I know, Sarah, let me read this thing from... Have you read the thing from Navarro's blog?
Yeah, I just read it.
Okay, and then you have got... I mean, did you and I get the same... do you and I kind of know the same stuff? And we've been talking to the same people about this kind of day. So, it looks like... I know that when the Rockstar Supernova show was... Look, it's not like everybody in Portland has got a huge vested interest in the career of Rockstar Supernova. I know we all kind of...
We have an interest in Storm.
We have an interest in Storm, and it's just, and especially it sucks because the tickets have been on sale, are probably non-refundable at this point, and so everybody's been jacked out of their money for something they're not going to be able to see. I would imagine... It would seem highly unlikely that the tickets are now refundable, and even if they are refundable, that's sans service charge. And they screw, whatever service charge, $20, $25, $30. It's not, I mean, $30. Especially depending on where you buy, especially because the ticket brokers were selling those things for like $250 when she was still on the show. So, So, yeah, I have no vested interest in whether Tommy Lee's new band succeeds. It will not, and I think everybody's aware of that. It just does show just the underhanded the way that this whole thing works. Now, this is from, well, I guess I can say this is from our man Seamus, and he was sort of the inside scoop for a lot of this in the past. He said, Navarro learned about it from Storm. Navarro, who is the executive producer of the show alongside Mark Burnett, who one would assume has a vested economic interest in the success of the band, whatever economic success that may be. Navarro learned about it from Storm, who learned about it from fans, who learned about it from Magny's fans, who learned about it from Magny on his site. No one at the record label or the management group will confirm it. What an industry. Navarro, and this is from Dave Navarro himself. This is from his website. It says, I found out last night, God, this is like that thing, this is like on the show, when he made that, and I think they cut this out. This is when I went down to see the show filmed, and they made this observation where they were doing the originals, and they were all singing their same goddamn tired original for the third time. And Dave Navarro made that statement. He's like, during the tape, he's like, I was really disappointed when I came here tonight and learned that you would all be singing the same original. So clearly he's just sort of window dressing. I mean, he obviously doesn't have a hand in any sort of real production on the show. Now, because that's the other thing, is not even the Panic Channel's playing now. I heard the Panic Channel got yanked too. I mean, not that everybody was the Panic Channel with their 22,000 in album sales. I found out last night, says Dave Navarro, that Storm, Magny, and the House Band are no longer coming on tour with Supernova. It was actually Storm herself that told me about it, says Dave. I had no idea, and so I looked up the article. It really sucks. I loved working with Storm on Ladylike, and the House Band, apart from being my friends, will be missed. They are... Excuse me. They are an undeniably talented force, in my opinion. They kept the show from being an American Idol clone. They made it credible as a rock show. Supposedly, there is more information on Magny's site, but I was unable to find it this morning, says Dave Navarro. And then one little final bit of information. And it's just so you kind of know the deal. And I'm not going to be here tonight, so I'm not... There's a Wonder Ballroom show for Storm, which I know is sold out. And, man, I was looking on Craigslist to just kind of see... And, man, there's tickets for Storm tonight. Craigslist is going for, I mean, they're going for hundreds. So if you don't have tickets for that, I think you are, as they say, screwed in the patois. But anyway, so what we've been told is that it came not from Tommy Lee, not from the band, not from even Mark Burnett, but from the management company. And... The guy who manages Supernova, who manages Slash, who manages Tommy Lee, etc. And let's not, we should probably refrain from conveying some of the other stuff that we were told right now. And this is probably because I would be speaking from a place of annoyance and irritation. And that's probably a bad way to do that. Mm-hmm. So there's some other kind of slime happening. And so we'll talk about that maybe later in today's show.
Well, here's someone to perk you up.
Why, is it Lisa Goddard?
It sure is.
Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent and woman about town, Lisa Goddard from the Hill. Lisa, how are you?
Wow, cha-cha-cha. That was a big introduction.
It's what we do here. At the Rick Emerson Show, we believe that anything worth doing is worth overdoing. Lisa Goddard.
You know what? I like that. I think that's also kind of American as well.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like one big Harrah's casino here. Let me ask you this. Yesterday we had this. In fact, let me find it. I want to make sure that I have. This soundbite handy throughout.
Commander-in-Chief.
Oh man, did Rick Emerson deliver? I say totally slipping into the third person, or did Rick Emerson deliver?
You did.
Man, it's like, and it's not even that I delivered. It's that guy, that listener, Steve, who called up with this. If you didn't hear this yesterday, this is George Bush speaking at a press conference yesterday in the Rose Garden, yesterday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, talking about the fiscal year and the budget for same, in which he apparently devises a brand... The Gregorian calendar is not quite good enough for him. He devises a brand new one. Let's...
The budget numbers for fiscal 2006. These budget numbers are not just estimates. These are the actual results for the fiscal year that ended February the 30th.
Ah, it's gold. Fried sliced gold is what that is. So my question for you, Lisa Goddard, is if I were to ask you what the CNN print, that is to say online transcript of that statement said, what would you think? What would you guess that the CNN online transcript of that statement said?
My guess, because I'm not the CNN transcript guru, but my guess is that they get their transcript from the White House.
Yes.
That's probably actually a White House transcript, right?
I don't know. All I know is that CNN.com, and this is not the entire transcript, by the way. This is not when I say transcript, I guess there was a larger article about the state of the financial union in which they were quoting George W. Bush yesterday, and somehow what came out of his mouth is February 30th ended up being September 30th.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
There you go. That's a little feather to put in your cap.
I'm really disappointed.
It's okay. The question is, though, were you able to pass it on to anybody else? Were you able to spread the word about that?
I did pass it on. I passed it on to the .com guys, actually, ironically. Yeah. And I was pitching it, doing a little piece on it.
Right.
But when that was happening was also right after.
Oh, that's true.
We got that plane crash, remember?
That's true.
So everything got, off the table.
All right. Well, whatever. Rick Emerson tried, though. I was here. We were here to pass it along. All right.
To your credit.
Let me ask you this. Could I possibly be this lucky? And we've been having a really good week here the plane crash, obviously, very tragic. But that apart, a lot of great news stories, a lot of things coming out that are just... It's like after many, many weeks of bad karma coming back on me, it's like I've done something correct, and the fates have just opened up the heavens, and golden beams of news like sunshine have fallen down on top of me, followed by this. Is it possible that this story actually says that Mark Foley was known to show up at the Congressional Page dormitories while drunk?
We know, we understand from another congresswoman who's done her own investigation that apparently he did that once.
Was he wrapped in only a towel?
I haven't heard that.
Is he slathering himself with any kind of personal item, do you suppose? It's fantastic.
He was singing a Schoolhouse Rock song.
Oh, it's just, I mean, it's like the George W. Bush thing yesterday when he said February 30th. There are moments when you think that the barrel has been scraped dry, when you've actually scraped out the bottom of the barrel, and there's nowhere else for you to go. And then being wrapped in a warm, swaddling batch of clothing, the news gods smile on you once again. So when did this happen, and who did we hear it from?
We don't know exactly when this happened. We believe it was in the last, 3 or 4 years. I've been hearing 2000, 2001, maybe 2002. We heard it. CNN first had a source, a Capitol Police source, say that this had happened. And then we also have this Ginny Wade Brown, one of the congressmen here, saying after the allegations came out, after Congressman Foley resigned, she said she herself looked into it, and then she put out a statement saying that she did get more information confirming that happened. But we've tried to look for a police report. We have not found one, but apparently he was just, he lives just maybe two blocks from the Page dormitory.
Well, that's hard to believe.
Mark Foley's house is, conveniently enough.
Yes.
And so he apparently was inebriated in some form, or so the story goes, and that he was outside the Page dorm. And that's a secure, it's a locked dorm. Pages have a 10 p.m. curfew. So we don't know much else about that story, but it certainly has spread quickly.
I mean, I don't understand. Is he in rehab right now? Do we know?
Yes, okay. He is in rehab right now. That's what we're told by his attorney.
Yes, and I understand that you are not able to speculate on such things, but I'm just saying that when I hear this story about Mark Foley, and perhaps now it's only because we're officially just gorging on news about him every single day, but I got to tell you, when I read about him showing up, because maybe it was just that he was wandering by, who knows, maybe the reality is one too many aperitifs, as they say, and he was just came by, knocked on the door, see if somebody wanted to play foosball, perhaps, but that's not what it becomes in my head. It becomes him standing out front, like sort of John Cusack style, like in a wet overcoat.
Oh no!
Just doing like some sort of a graduate, like Maria, at the window. Except it's not Maria. It's like Ted.
No, Stella. Yeah. One of those.
Exactly. So, yeah. Here's a question. I mean, he gets out of rehab, and then, I mean, there's two separate tracks here. There is the governmental track. With their friend Dennis Hastert and so forth, the investigation and so forth.
When White.
What happens to Mark Foley when they discharge him from rehab? They say, there you go, you're not a drunk anymore, and good luck to you. And they give him a suitcase and $5, and they put him on the step. What happens to that guy next? What is the next step for him?
Well, he's no longer a congressman. He resigned, but he it will receive his pension as a congressman, who served six terms.
That's fantastic.
And even if he's convicted of a felony, he would, under our current law, still receive that pension.
All right.
So he'll get that money. But he's going to have to kind of figure out what he does next in his life. And there's not a lot of, you don't see a lot in the classifieds where people looking for ex-congressmen who were inappropriate with minors.
Yeah, seriously, it's not like he's going to end up on the board of Bechtel or anything real soon. There's a book deal, though. There's probably somebody drafting that contract right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is. But I think the concern for him is going to be whether there will be any criminal charges against him.
Well, that's kind of what I was asking. And there does seem to be this way. You know, the thing is, just like with OJ, we all got a crash course in DNA. With this, I'm telling you, man, the one of the upsides for all of us as a public, we are going to get a crash course in what's legal to do on the Internet and what's legal to say and who it's legal to talk to and who it's not. We're all going to be a lot wiser about such things a year from now, I would guess.
Yeah, that's right. And this is a little bit of uncharted territory. Well, for many reasons, but with the Internet, as we talked about before, the age of consent in Washington, D.C. is 16. So any of these pages, it's not necessarily criminal activity within Washington, but in Florida they're looking at other laws because they think, he said he was in a hotel room at one point campaigning in Florida when he sent some of these emails, supposedly. And they're also seeing maybe that has a federal aspect to it because it was across state lines. But then you raise bigger questions about the Internet. So any email that goes from state to state, does that now put you in a different set of...
I love uncharted territory.
I knew you would.
By the way, in case you talked to him before I do, I would like to offer Mark Foley a radio talk program. So if he's interested in working on weekends, you just let him know I've got slots available and I'm holding it for a person such as himself. If Cato Kaelin can have a gig, why not that guy?
I'll hit him with dinner, but you should also be happy that Larry Craig, Senator from Idaho, has just recently put out a press release saying that he's currently seeking page applications for next year. So if you want, you can move to Idaho. Now, the Senate, of course, didn't have these problems as far as we know. But
that's it. From now on, Scotty J is no longer our he's no longer the PA. He's our page.
Okay, nice.
Lisa Goddard, I will be gone tomorrow, but you may, in fact, be. So if you call the show tomorrow and you're speaking with someone who has even more energy to their voice than me, that would be a guy named Tim
Be here
tomorrow.
Tim?
So yes, Tim Savage is his name. So he may or may not be speaking with you tomorrow, just so you know.
Thank you. And I may or may not be speaking to him.
Try not to miss me.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill. I'm just going to read this one email that says, Rick, I would like to overdo Lisa Goddard. Bam! 503-733-2970. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. We just had some breaking news about a good friend, Storm Large. Storm, how you doing, sister?
I'm great. How you doing?
Oh, you know. We're fighting off the urge to kill. Urge to kill rising.
Did you get my email? I sent you an email this morning.
Maybe I got an email from your significant other. I got an email from Davey. I'm checking right here. I've been running. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Storm. Now, forgive me just one second here. I'll just kind of quickly scan this, and I apologize for not getting it.
Yeah, scan it for, typical stormisms, but that's my story. And I'm sticking with it.
So, well, do you want to, just so I didn't fall into me just kind of reading it, do you want to kind of give this as, the subject on this email is my official statement. Do you want to go ahead and just kind of give a synopsized version of that here, kind of what we're talking?
Sure. I haven't heard anything official from management, from the label, or from the rock star people. And, Dave Navarro called me yesterday. He didn't know what was going on. He was very disappointed, to say the least. It was just kind of kept under wraps, and it's still kind of kept under wraps. I still haven't gotten any official word, but they, for financial reasons, can't afford to take the house band, Magni, and myself. So what is going to happen is Toby is going to go out with Delana, with Toby's band, Juke Cut. Oh, where if you say it really quickly, sounds anti-Semitic.
It sounds like Mel Gibson's group, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds anti-Semitic, and he's got a Mel Gibson accent, so that's not really cool.
Fantastic.
But I've got a lot going on. I always have before this show, and I'm going to have a lot going on after this show. The tour was a bonus. The tour was going to be just a lot of fun. and I was really looking forward to it. But, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's not the beat. I wasn't hanging all of my hopes and dreams on this tour. I actually have more time now to do more independent musical projects and theatrical projects. So it's a good thing, you know. I now have more time.
It's totally cool. I think from, you know, our kind of anger, and I was it, our kind of anger just comes to the fact that we would, you know, it's one of those things where when... And I know that, you know, that you have lived in other places. Portland, I know it sounds like such a joke, but I mean, you are huge in a lot of, you are large in a lot of places. And
yeah.
It was our thing of like, you know, everybody who goes to that show is going to see the genius of Storm Large. And it was just a very cool thing, the idea that you were going to be on this assault on the world, where you were going to go out there and a lot of people were going to kind of get to see you, you know, sort of in the flesh. And so that's kind of the bummer about it. But we should clarify, and this is, we heard this from Davey, and it's probably from you as well, that this is not, they didn't come from Dave Navarro. That this didn't come from the band.
No, not at all. Not at all. This was an executive decision, not on the part of Mark Burnett Productions. I believe it was a decision on the label, management, to be able so everyone could make money, and, you know, they afford certain things. Which is understandable. It was a business decision, but the fact that Magni and I had to find out through alternative channels, I think is very unprofessional.
Well, that's what sucks.
That's the upsetting point.
Well, Dave Navarro, even Navarro said that he heard it from you, and you heard it from the fans who heard it from Magni's fans who heard it from Magni.
Right.
And Magni's in goddamn Reykjavik or something. I mean, I don't even know how that works. So,
Magni had been touring with Delana, and maybe Delana was privy to information, but I can't say for sure. I haven't talked to Delana or Toby yet. I got a text from Toby yesterday. But, you know, we're all still friends, and from what I understand, Delana is really upset about going out without the house band. She may be under contract. She has to, but I know she doesn't want to go without her friends. But... It's weird when art and commerce come together, which is television, which is touring. You know, there's always going to be ruffled feathers because business and art don't really gel very well together.
All right. Well, you know, as always, kind of, you know, let us know how this all shakes out. And if nothing else, I mean, we're sorry you had to hear about it in such a weird way that
That was the bummer of the whole thing, because I've done so much legwork and promotion for this tour.
Yeah, that's handy that they let you go out and shill for it for a while before they booted you. That works out nicely. Thanks, guys. A-holes.
But don't worry, guys. You know, I wanted to go because it was going to be fun, but I have other things I got to do, too. And
don't deny me my bitterness. Don't deny me my bitterness. Without my bitterness, I am nothing, Storm.
All right, honey. I'm sorry. Right. Go ahead and be bitter.
You guys are Wonder Ballroom tonight. I sold out. I have tickets.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
I keep thinking it's Friday because I'm not here tomorrow. So tomorrow, Wonder Ballroom, and I was looking on Craigslist, and tickets, I mean, people are really excited about it. It's been sold out, and so that's going to be very cool. Can I ask, do you guys have anything else performance-wise happening in Portland or in this part of the world anytime soon? Or
November 18th, we're going to be at the Crystal Ballroom, and we're trying to figure out a way to do an all-ages show, possibly at the Aladdin, before the year is out.
All right.
So we'll definitely keep you posted, and don't worry about a thing. Everything's going to be fine.
All right, sister.
When are you going to come in and visit us, Stormy?
I know. I mean, the S hit the fan, so I had to do a bunch of recon work, you know, and
right.
So I haven't been able to really leave the house. But I'm going to come and visit you before I go back down to L.A.
Cool. All right, Storm.
That's Tuesday, so don't worry about it. Keep rocking, and I'll see you guys soon.
All right, well, have a good show tomorrow night, and we will talk to you very soon, sister.
I will, darling. Talk to you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, Storm Large, Storm and the Balls. All right. There you go, 503-733-2970. Back after this with the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. We'll talk to him a little bit later on. Peter Carlin, et cetera, so on and so forth. Jim Riley comes your way in mere minutes. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.